Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, stability in spiritually edifying music. Today's unsettling, insecure world has led many believers to become unsettled and insecure, so in contrast to today's world, we believers need to focus on the stability and security that we have in our Lord. The Colossians epistle presents Christ's all-sufficiency and supremacy in ways that settle and provide security. And one way it does is by teaching the believer stability by involvement in spiritually edifying music. The applicability of this truth becomes intense when viewing the believers, what believers face even in the church. Dave Hunt in the Berean Call newsletter, April 2004, reported he was getting feedback from increasing numbers of believers who were troubled by shallow and repetitive music in their churches that lacked doctrinal content. We've heard the same concerns both locally and from friends in the Midwest and the Far West. There's a friend that we have in Nebraska who has written complaining about this in a church that was, it was the church that I had pastored before coming here. They essentially getting into rock music, and she couldn't stand it, so she left it and went into another church. And in the Far West, we've had people. I remember my mother was going to a church, and the music was so loud she had hearing aids. It was bothering her. She couldn't stay in the sanctuary. She had to get out. And then after the music was done, then she would come in to listen to the sermon. But it became a real problem. And eventually she just stayed home and she listened to televangelists or Bible teachers online like David Jeremiah and so forth. But this is a problem. Well, Colossians chapter 3, 16 and 17 teaches the stabilizing truth on spiritually edifying music, and we view it for our insight. I want to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Colossians 3, 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Tremendous section of Scripture. Spiritually edifying music, in God's view, highlights the word of Christ, that is, the word of God. When I was in college, I was actually aiming to get a double major, a major in Bible as well as a major in music, but I didn't have the time to spend to get a double major in music. You had to be teaching in classrooms and so forth, and I didn't have the time to do that. But I did study a lot about music in college. And throughout the history of Western civilization, there has been a battle between what is more important, the words or the music itself. And wherever the church has come and had predominance, the emphasis has come on the words because of the content of the Word of God. Wherever you get secularism, the secularism generally, it's not the words that are, but it's the music itself. And eventually, in modern rock music, the words can be absolutely awful, but people still like the song because the music to them is attractive because of the beat and whatnot. But here, the Apostle Paul lays it out. Spiritual music has to have as its main emphasis the Word of God, the Word of Christ. One reason that we have a hymn book here tonight, years ago we chose this particular hymn book, the board that we had at the time. And we were exposed to a lot of hymn books. There were some hymn books that had beautiful melodies in them, probably more excessive than this, but this book was put together. I think Dave Wurtson was one of the compilers of this particular brand. He said, we opted for the doctrinal integrity of the songs above everything else. And the board said that represents Nepog Church. We're here to emphasize the Word of God. So we went with the hymn book that provided the most doctrinal integrity. Now, there are some hymns, even in the hymnal that we have, that I don't feel comfortable selecting because doctrinally there's a weakness in there. But for the most part, the hymns that we have in our hymn book are very good. But that should be the emphasis, the Word of God, the Word of Christ. Specifically then, spiritually edifying music ministers to the heart through the mind as follows, and this comes out in Colossians 3:16. Spiritually edifying music is performed in all Sophia. That, in fact, we get the woman's name Sophia from that. Sophia, that is wisdom, applying biblical knowledge to practical living. That's what it is. So there needs to be, in the wording of the hymn, music that applies to our lives, practical lives. And that's something that's very important before the Lord. Spiritually edifying music teaches, didasko is the Greek word, biblical truths. Also, spiritually edifying music admonishes, or it warns, or instructs. That's the word noutheteo. It admonishes, warns, or instructs believers in scripture truth. This is more of an applicational. Jay Adams, who's written the book on biblical counseling, says that this word noutheteo is actually what biblical counseling is all about. It's taking scripture and admonishing someone in regards to the scripture truth. So music, our music should admonish, it should warn, it should instruct us in regards to the truth. And then spiritually edifying music ministers reciprocally. In other words, it ministers to one another in the church. There should be give and take, where if there's a person who is performing the music, that person needs to perform in such a way that he's encouraging and blessing the hearts of others. And when we sing, we should be singing one to another. I've heard sometimes we've had some songs. I love Easter Sunday when we do that song, Up From the Grave He Arose, you know. The congregation really gets into the swing of that, and they lift their voices up and really sing. Another song is, it's not Amazing Grace, but Amazing Grace is one of the songs that we really sing. And Can It Be That I Should Gain? That's another song the congregation really gets into, and it's encourages. When you're standing up here, I wish everybody would have a chance to be up here, and everybody's singing in your direction. Man, there's a lot of noise and sound. It's really uplifting and encouraging. But it's really neat to see that. Well, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to build one another up in our music. That's very important. Then, spiritually edifying music utilizes specific genres of music. A genre is a special kind of music presentation. And Scripture is very particular on this. Spiritually edifying music utilizes the genre of Old Testament psalms. It's the Greek word psalmos. An example of this genre would be the song that we have, The Lord's My Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Sometimes we have other songs, psalms that are addressed in the hymn book, but that's the one that we most like. Spiritually edifying music utilizes the genre of hymns of praise to God. This is the Greek word hymnos, and hymnos is a formal anthem of praise to God for his glory. A classic hymn is How Great Thou Art. That's a formal hymn where we sing to the glory of God. Almighty God, power, that we sing. Almighty God, power to save. It's the military hymn. I forget the title of it right now. But that's a hymn to the glory of God as well. So those are very important. And then spiritually edifying music utilizes the genre of spiritual odes. The Greek word is ode. An ode is any song that is less formal than a psalm or a hymn, but it testifies of the biblical truth in the spiritual realm. An example of this genre would be Fill My Cup, Lord. This is where a person is looking to the Lord and asking the Lord to help him in a personal way. Fill my cup, Lord. When I survey the wondrous cross, in fact, when Isaac Watts first wrote that song, he was almost kicked out of the church because it was too personal. They were not used to that, but that's a spiritual ode, and there's nothing wrong in singing that. It's actually a personal testimony. So that's a kind of music that we can use. But nevertheless, notice the emphasis is on the word of God. Fill my cup. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. There are plenty of scriptures that talk about the thirst that we have for the Lord. Now, spiritually edifying music is performed with an attitude of grace, that is, attractive graciousness. This is so important. There's a lot of Christian music that is being performed, and I've heard this on even Christian radio, so-called Christian radio stations, where you don't have attractive graciousness. You get into stuff that is loud. It's almost like rock music. That's not gracious at all. God wants people's hearts to be built up and encouraged in the unmerited favor of God. So there has to be an attitude of grace. And also goodwill and thanksgiving. The Greek word is charis. We get the word charisma from this. But it's coming from one's inner heart, the inner heart. This is where a person needs to perform with grace. One of the singers that I love to hear who really emphasizes the grace of God was George Beverly Shea. Now, George Beverly Shea is with the Lord. He was a baritone, but when he sang, you could just sense. I love the favorite song I love to hear him sing was The Love of God. We sang it tonight. Sarah had elected it tonight. But I remember hearing The Love of God. The earliest memory I have, I think, is going back. We had a record of George Beverly Shea when I was 3-4 years of age, and Mom would play that over and over. And with that deep baritone voice and the feeling that the man put into his song was just amazing. But that's the attitude of grace that God wants, that kind of a thing. I heard a duet by Sandy Patty and Larnell Harris on He's More Than Wonderful. And they absolutely raised the roof. Of course, Patty, Sandy could sing way up there. But one of the most thrilling presentations of that song I've ever heard. Anyway, spiritually edifying music is performed toward pleasing God. You notice in verse 16, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. When we perform our music, or when we're playing the piano or whatever, it should be for the Lord. We're not doing this to please other people around us. We're doing this for the Lord, to edify other people in Christ, yes, but we're doing this as unto God. We need to keep in mind the primary audience to whom we're playing is God. When we sing, we should be singing to God. God hears us, and he's listening for how we're intonating the song, how we're singing it, whether we're singing it from the heart or not. And then spiritually edifying music is performed in the name of the Lord Jesus with the spirit of thanksgiving to God the Father by our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice how important thanksgiving is. Verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, and this is in connection with the singing, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Oh, it's so important. We hear a number of times in Scripture God refers to his people being thankful, how important it is for us to be thankful, and we should be thanking God. We have a song we gather together, which is a Thanksgiving song. Another song, Thanks to God. These are types of songs that are very pleasing to the Lord. So spiritually edifying music that produces stability in the believer highlights the word of God to minister and applying biblical knowledge to practical living, teaching biblical truths and admonishing, warning, and instructing believers in scripture truth. It utilizes the genres of Old Testament psalms, formal anthems of praise to God, and spiritual odes that testify of biblical truth. And it is performed in an attitude of attractive graciousness, goodwill, and thanksgiving to God that aims to please God and honor Christ in the spirit of thanksgiving to the Lord. So, in application, obviously, then, much of what passes for Christian music in many churches today is not good music because it is short on communicating a rich abundance of biblical truth and aims to please the sin nature in man that feeds on lusty temple and loud noise. We must thus avoid such errant forms and expressions of music. Number two, our music must then reflect the love, the joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control of the fruit of the Spirit of God, in Galatians 5:22 and 23. And our focus should be to communicate biblical truth in the heart, through the mind, in a gracious way. May we utilize Old Testament psalms, anthems of praise to God, and spiritual odes as directed in Scripture with the rich attractiveness and attitude and presentation that honors the Lord rather than feeding human lust as occurs in so much of so-called Christian music today. an illustration. Many years ago, during the Civil War, there was a man by the name of, I believe his name is Ira Sankey. He was had a beautiful tenor voice. I think he sang in some of the Moody, Dwight L. Moody presentations. It was a Civil War, it was night, and he was out, he was looking at the stars at night, and his heart was overwhelmed with joy, so he just decided to sing. I think he sang "His Eyes on the Sparrow Line" and "Know He Watches Me." And he sang the song, and then he finished, and then he went back into fellowship with other people. Many years later, there was a man who had fought in the Civil War on the side of the South as a rebel. And he noticed Mr. Sankey, and he came up to Mr. Sankey, and he said, "Mr. Sankey, do you remember that night when you went away from the other group that was there, and you were, I think he leaned up against a stovepipe or something on a ship somewhere, but anyway, and you were singing 'His Eyes on the Sparrow'?" Mr. Sankey said, "Yes, I remember that." He said, "Well, I was fighting for the South at the time, and when you first went out there, I put you in the sights of my gun. I was getting ready to take your life because you were on the Union side and I was in the South. When you started singing about 'His Eyes on the Sparrow,' and I'm a believer," he said, "I couldn't pull the trigger and kill another believer like that, so I lowered my gun. And I really appreciated your music and your presentation." Now that's an extreme situation where singing with grace in your heart really does a lot of good. In that case, it saved Mr. Sankey's life. But that's the type of music that God wants us to produce. He wants us to produce music that ministers to people, and to do so in a very gracious way that is focusing on the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God. And if we do that, we can... Music is a very powerful medium. It affects the emotions. It digs deep into people. And if we perform it well and we perform it with graciousness to the Lord, God can really make us a blessing. And we can be a blessing, and we can be blessed in the process.